Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about your Critters, Companions, Commerce, and Agriculture and all of the connections between them.
Good morning. Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about all of our critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture. This morning, as always, we have a fun guest. Welcome, Tyler.
Thank you for having me.
Can you give us your name and tell us where you're from?
Yes, I'm Tyler Van Wingerden. I grew up in Carroll County, just a little bit outside of Keymar, Maryland. Been there my whole life and still living there now.
Small town life.
Yes.
And Catoctin Mountain Growers is your passion.
It is, yes.
You should see his eyes light up. It's a whole family passion.
It's a whole family passion, yes.
So you're born into this.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
You had no out.
I guess I didn't have many choices. Yeah, no, but
so
we're happy with it.
What is Catoctin Mountain Growers?
We are a wholesale greenhouse or commercial greenhouse. We grow mostly annuals and bedding plants, but we do three seasons, the mum season and a poinsettia season as well.
Okay.
With spring. Business my parents started, and I have three other siblings, and we're all working in it and enjoying it and doing our best.
Your three siblings, so let's back up a little bit, because this goes more than three siblings and your mom and dad.
Yeah.
Where does this start?
Yeah, so my dad is one of 16
kids. That's a lot of hands to work.
Yeah, so his parents made sure they had plenty of labor available for them.
There you go.
Yeah, so his parents, my grandparents on my dad's side, moved or emigrated here from Holland through Ellis Island and got started in New York, but they moved around quite a bit. My dad is on the lower end. He's the fourth youngest out of the 16.
And, wow.
Yeah, and then he ended up, when he married my mom in 85, ended up here in Maryland and started their own place. So all his brothers and sisters who've married all are in the greenhouse industry in some way. Some build them, some grow.
So all 16?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Wow. So I have to ask this, and I know you probably get this asked whenever the story comes up, but when I think Holland, I think bulbs, I think tulips.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it started?
It started with a flower cart in New York. So when he when they came here and got started, he had a cart he was selling flowers on, and then he had a cold frame or a hoop house type setup. And
the greenhouse.
When I say greenhouse, I think glass peaks and open roofs and it was a plastic hooped greenhouse. Yeah.
Okay.
And then just grew from there and he would move on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So from immigration and pushcart forward.
Yes. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
You and your three siblings are going through a generational change?
At the company, yes, we are. You're slowly taking on more responsibility and learning the ropes a little bit. My dad's still very involved, still helps us a lot learning things and still is very involved in managing what happens there. But we're all slowly picking up tips and ways of running the business.
That's a hard transition, something we talk about on the program a lot, because in farming industries and in agriculture industries, as many other family businesses, local businesses, that transition is emotional and family. And boy, that can be tough.
Yeah.
And very satisfying at the same time.
Yeah, it's exciting for us as the kids. It's a wonderful opportunity that we're very thankful for. And I think my dad's doing a good job. He, being on the younger end of 16 kids, has seen this happen many times because a lot of his brothers have a similar setup.
That makes sense.
And so he's gotten some good advice and seen some good examples of maybe how not to do it and how to do it.
Yeah.
So it's running smoothly for us, and it's been a good experience.
What a good story.
Yeah.
Because, those transitional farms, we often call them farming royalty, because if you're not born into farming, how the heck do you get into farming?
Yeah.
Greenhouse work is farming.
Yeah, it's a little bit more of a contemporary version of it, I'd say, but it is very much growing plants and living things and keeping it and tending it. Yeah.
That's farming.
It's farming.
They're crops.
Yeah. They're crops, yes.
You call them crops.
Yeah, we have multiple crops, yeah.
Yeah, so I've never really thought of petunias as crops.
Yeah.
But they're crops.
Yeah, we use the term crops all the time, yeah.
Makes sense.
Yes.
So what is the difference between local and small business and retail and wholesale? You want to take retail and wholesale first?
In regards to how our company sells?
And in regards to how you sell, or in regards to, do we come to your place to buy flowers or do we go somewhere else to buy them?
Right. We start by saying you go somewhere else to buy them. That is the bulk of how our company operates and runs.
And that would be wholesale.
Yeah, that'd be wholesale. We would call that our retail partners. So we would sell. We sell to Sam's Club, to Walmart.
The ones here? Like around us in Carroll County and
Walmart,
Frederick?
It's all of Maryland and Delaware. For Sam's,
that's a lot of flowers.
It's a lot of flowers, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
And Sam's Club, it goes up to the New York border, so we're up in the PA area as well. There's fewer clubs, so you can go a little further. And then we do giant grocery stores in Maryland, all of those in Maryland. And then Weiss Markets, you know, here or there, we do some plants with them. And Kenny's is very local to here. So
yes.
We have some local brands we work with as well. Wholesale is typically when we sell to a garden center or another landscaping company. We call that wholesale.
So yeah. Another garden center might not be growing their own things, or they would be supplementing?
Supplementing. A lot of them grow their own stuff, but then there's something, some plants are just a little tougher to get started and get growing, or they just don't have the space to support what they sell. So they just sell more than they can grow themselves. So they'll buy in a little bit.
So that would be like a farmer's market that we've talked about, sort of.
Yeah.
Where if someone specializes in tomatoes, but they need to bring in cucumbers and peppers and onions.
Yeah, they get them somewhere else. Exactly.
Interesting. Okay. Yes. So that's retail partners and wholesale and
landscapers. And then very small, but fun is we do sell retail directly. We do it on Saturdays. It's something I did as a kid. My brother and I started doing it. My dad would let us do it and let us keep, you know, a percentage of the sales. And that was our pay.
Yes. Okay.
And we'd make, you know, $10 in a day. And we had a great time doing it.
I wish everyone could see your face, the way you're glowing with that memory.
Oh, it was fun. And we really enjoyed it. But it's grown pretty organically. We don't really push it too much or try to advertise for it too much. But it's grown pretty organically. And now it's kind of a big deal. Well, for us it is. It's a lot of people come through the spring, and we really enjoy it. It's nice. You see familiar faces every year, and people enjoy walking through the greenhouse and seeing all the plants and a lot of color in one spot.
Wow.
It's an enjoyable thing, yeah.
So it's really an odd combination. A lot of our listeners may have the same sort of thoughts that I'm having. It's local, but it's not local. Mm-hmm. It's small business, but it's not big business, mm-hmm. but it's working with a big business.
Yeah.
How do you put all this together? Are we still buying local?
Oh, yeah, definitely. All the people who work at our place live around here. So, yeah, and I live around here, and yeah, we pay taxes around here. So, yeah, it's very much local. Yeah, partnering with someone like Walmart and big corporations like that doesn't in any way make us less local, I don't believe. We're still the economic impact my company has is here. For the most part, is here.
Because the money comes back to the area.
Comes back here. We spend it here and hire people here. And yeah.
So let me toss a model out there and see if this sticks, if you will.
All right.
So it's almost like Etsy.
Yeah.
Where you're doing the crafting, if you will, mm-hmm. locally, but there's a venue that's much larger to sell your product.
Yeah. Walmart is the venue.
So Walmart is the Etsy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think that's Walmart's business model. That's what's made them work so well is they're just they don't produce things. They just sell them and have convenient ways to buy them, and we help to get those products in there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to follow up this conversation with what the siblings are doing and where and what comes next with technology.
Okay, that's good.
Join me, Raishan Mayer, from Mariah Bellmander Kennel, for our new adventure, Living Life Tails Up podcast, combining everyday life with what goes on at the kennel and farm, a bit of humor, some ideas, and some positive happy bubbles. We're living tails up, nose down, and staying on track. We hope to see you on Living Life Tails Up for 5 to 10 minutes worth of happy, happy bubbles shooting out there in the atmosphere. See you soon.
Welcome back to Raising Connections. I'm Raishan Mayer. Today we have Tyler with us from Catoctin Mountain Growers. Welcome.
Thank you.
So we were talking about the family history, what is small, what is local.
Mm-hmm.
So do you consider yourself a small business, a local business? What do you consider yourselves?
We're definitely a local business, and I think by definition we are a small business.
Okay.
I think that's a matter of anyone's perspective on small. So we're pretty big in my mind from what I've experienced in our area. So we enjoy the size that we have. There's a lot of economies of scale that come with it, but I think technically still a small business. Yeah.
So do you find with economies of scale that you're feeding a monster or that it is an economy of scale?
There's definitely a limit to economies of scale. You can't, you know, I couldn't produce 10 times the hanging baskets, let's say, that I do now and make them 30% cheaper. So you do hit a limit of, okay, now we've reached a high level of production and it's as cheap as it's going to get. I wouldn't stand here and claim we're there, but it definitely, the next 50% of production is not reducing my cost by a ton. So the economy of scale has a limit. I think we're kind of close to it. We have a large scale production model going, and it affords us some very efficient production costs. Yes.
So out of curiosity, how many glass greenhouses or hoop houses or whatever structures do you define? So you're growing inside.
Yes.
Okay. How many of those do you have? How big are you guys?
We have one greenhouse. That's where it's a little different than maybe other pictures of greenhouses. It's one big building. Everything's connected. There's no outdoor space. You don't have to walk outside to get to the next piece.
Okay.
But it's 18 acres of glass structure that we grow in.
That's a lot of warmth in the middle of winter.
It's very warm in the middle of winter. Yeah, it's very warm now too.
I bet. Yeah. I bet.
Yes.
What does your growing season look like? Because if you're going to sell plants that are ready to go into the ground in the spring, when do you all start?
We start the planning process usually about 8 months ahead of time, depending on what plant it is. Poinsettias and mums, you start a little bit earlier, maybe 10 months ahead of time, just because they have a longer grow time and getting the genetics and the cuttings and things. There's just more of a lead time on all of
that. So you have master plants that you're taking the cuttings from to grow these.
We don't keep the, they call them mother plants, and we don't keep those. There's companies that have, they're very niched and productive in that, and we just work with them.
So you buy starter for those plants.
Yeah, we buy a mix. So a lot of what we grow starts from seed, and we'll sow those seeds into plug trays, and then we'll grow the plugs and plant them up into our final containers that we would sell. We grow a lot from cuttings, unrooted cuttings. So we'll buy those in, and we, some of those we start in a plug tray or a liner. We call them liners.
Okay.
Some now, we've been doing this more in the past couple of years. We call direct stick. We put that unrooted cutting directly into the final container. It saves us a labor step of transplanting, and it saves the plant some transplant shock, which usually slows it down a little bit and can sometimes be tough on it. The only thing it costs us is it's a little bit slower to produce those because you're not putting them in a very dense tray, and you have to use a little bit more space earlier on in your season. So our greenhouse is fuller faster that way. So we have to heat a little more. But it's worth the labor savings on not transplanting it again 3 weeks later.
That makes sense. When you're doing this work, you're one step, you have folks behind you who are supplying and folks ahead of you who you are supplying. So it's really a chain.
Oh, definitely supply chain,
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. So I think a lot of folks have read novels and books and have a very romanticized idea of what life in a greenhouse would be like.
Yeah.
What's it really like? What does a normal day look for you?
Oh, man. I guess I'll be honest. At our size, a normal day for me is very different than a normal day for, let's say, our head grower.
Okay.
I do spend a lot of time on the phone with customers, and it just feels very much just like normal selling widgets of stuff. So I don't really get the beauty of the plants every day, which I go out and walk as much as I can. Yeah, it's still work. Our growers are out there, and they always have comfortable clothing on, and they're always sweaty and dirty and wet by the end of the day.
Okay.
Watering things and picking up stuff that's fallen over, or we have hanging plants that sometimes drop, and there's lots of cleaning to be done. We have other teams that are moving plants around because we'll start the pots close to each other just to save space. And then when they get bigger, we have to space them out to give a little bit of growing and breathing room to each pot, each plant. And so that takes a lot of effort.
Time and labor,
Sore shoulders and sore backs. So that's a lot of bending over and picking
moving.
Up. Yes, you don't want to disturb or hurt the plants. So there's a lot of that hustle going around out there that those people are tired by 3:30. Yeah, it's very tired.
I bet.
Yeah.
I've got to ask this question.
Okay.
I think I know the answer to this, but I've just got to ask it. How do you get all of the dirt in, or all the soil medium, if you will, into all those little bitty tiny holes?
Yeah, that's actually an interesting question. I don't know how much time we have, but
we might have to expand our time.
Yeah,
how do you do that?
So we grow in peat moss, primarily in peat moss. It's a it's technically a soilless medium. It's not soil. It's inert, so we don't have to worry about bringing in outside diseases or anything like that. So it comes in clean, and we mix that with is a wood fiber now. So it's 60% peat moss, 40% wood fiber. For the most part, we alter it a little bit depending on the plant. And that's our substrate that we grow in.
Okay.
And we have belts and machines and augers and lots of systems that get it to the place it needs to be when we're planting it and dumping it into either the pot or the small cells, like you asked. But this wood fiber filler is kind of a new filler for us. People used to use a lot of perlite, which is like a
little beads,
yeah. And we've gone away from that. It's extremely dusty, and the wood's a little bit more renewable and actually works better as a growing media for us. And it just took some infrastructure set up to get the machines to be able to shred it down and everything.
So as an end user, I've noticed that the plants need different water amounts because,
right.
And when I bring them home, that substrate falls away from the roots a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing a difference in us, the end users, going, how do we do this? Do we plant these? How do we use this?
Yeah, with a change of substrate?
Yes.
It had very little impact for us. We did tests on it. We trialed it before we went full scale with it, and we were testing a lot of things. And the main reason for perlite or these other substrates in there is aeration in the soil, and it helps with water retention and things like that, which is, it's an important aspect for us because we're growing it in the greenhouse, and frequency of watering is a big consideration.
To be a labor use.
Yes, big variable in pumping energy. It takes a lot of energy to move the water, just labor of managing that. So there was a lot of concern about that going into the wood fiber transition, but we did find that they were virtually the same. So we were very excited, and the wood fiber was a more environmentally conscious and honestly economically conscious choice than perlite.
And that's so good to hear that something environmentally friendly is actually pocketbook friendly too.
And it's a no-brainer when it's that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So when I get my plants, do I still take the whole plant and put it into the ground, or do I open the roots up and put it in the ground?
Yeah, you would take the whole plant out of that pot, put it in the ground, and it's good to go.
And if
you want to, you know, rough the roots up, some people rough the roots up a little bit, so you can get a root circling at the bottom of a pot, depending on how old it is.
Yeah.
And then that you can break that up, and that way it doesn't...
It's better if you break that up.
Yeah, it depends. And typically we like to ship and grow and ship our stuff so that isn't that way for you. But if you get something that's a little older, it may have some root circling.
And you never know. So in your model, once you ship, you have people there, the merchandisers, if you will, that's your term, who are babysitting the plants.
Yeah.
But still, stuff happens.
Oh, yeah.
When I think of, maybe some of our listeners think of, a crop, we think of wheat this time of year, and you can see the wheat being blown over, and that's a crop loss. Do you have crop losses?
Yes, we do. It's something we work really hard to minimize, but it's definitely a problem. We have it in multiple areas, too, not just at one point in the crop's life. So, you know, for the wheat example, you may have a bad germination and that would be a loss, but it's not quite the same loss as it falling over in a field. So we'll have germination issues early on. We'll have transplant issues sometimes if things aren't transplanted well, whether they didn't get stuck deep enough or they're laying down or it bounced out in carrying it to its final resting place there. And then we also have issues just in the life of it. Maybe an insect gets to it or something gets onto it. And then finally, at the customer or the retail partner where it sits, it may get very dry or something may happen to it that none of us want to happen to it, but it does. So there's lots of opportunities for loss. We minimize them as much as we can, but just this morning before I came here, we were looking at some problems with plugs. So the first stage that we had to...
Plugs being soils that
plugs
expand.
Being the... Plug is the very small little cell of dirt that just had a seed put into it that's rooted out and ready to be transplanted into the final container.
Okay.
So that's the plug is like the first stage, and we had some where we had an issue there, so had a little bit of a loss I had to deal with this morning on that. So it happens.
It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
So you've got a generational change. You've got your brothers and sisters back on the farm.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit about your background, how you got there, and your siblings, how you're all working together.
Okay.
But you've got everybody back working on, do you call it a farm or do you call it a greenhouse? Do you call it the place? Do you call it, what do you call it?
A greenhouse. We call it a greenhouse, but it's a farm, I guess you could.
You're
say
making
that.
Crops.
More generally, we're growing crops and using irrigation and a lot of things that you would normally see on a farm, yes.
Okay. And so with that transition and the four of you being a different age group than your folks, what are the four of you looking to transition into?
Yeah.
So first, let's talk about your background.
Okay. My personal background.
Your personal background. How did you get into this? Other than inheriting this, they made you leave and go do something else first.
Yes. I had to go off and study and do other things. And my brother and I, my older brother and I, who I'm very close with, we've always enjoyed the greenhouse and always knew we wanted to come back. But we did go off and just make sure we were seeing other things before we came back. And I studied up near Pittsburgh. It was Grove City College is a school near there. And I studied marketing there and worked a little bit up there too. But and then came back down and jumped right into the sales department here at the greenhouse. And so my background is in the marketing and sales and product development. And so I like to work with that at our facility about what new crops will we grow or what new items will we do. And maybe it's the same crop in a different package. And things like that will be what takes up my day a lot of times. And then interfacing with customers too.
Okay. Yeah. And then your siblings, you have a sister in a very different field and came back.
Yeah.
And you have brothers in different fields and came back. Okay.
Yes. My oldest brother, he does the logistics and transportation. We ship everything we grow, basically everything we grow. Some people pick up, but for our big retail partners, we deliver all of it to their stores.
That's a fleet of trucks.
So it's a large
fleet. And it's your own trucks.
Some of them are owned, some of them we lease, some of them are owner-operator drivers where they own their truck and we own the trailer and they'll just pick up and go.
I got to ask this, is temperature in the truck an issue?
Yes, we have reefer, they call them reefer trailers, but the refrigerated trailers.
Okay.
So we maintain the temperature in there.
Interesting, okay.
If we need to.
Wow, I think August.
In days like this, you don't have to, but yeah, in the summer, yes.
Okay.
Days like this, it's 60. So
it's nice. Yes, days like today, 60, and their plants are very happy.
Plants are very happy, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so my brother, oldest brother, does that. His name is Bill. And then I'm next. And then my sister is Christina. She's got an engineering physics degree, which now she has her, I think it's FTE or PT. I don't forget what the
engineering-ish initials.
Yeah, yeah, she did her first initials, and she's passed that. But she manages labor within the greenhouse and the systems that we use to operate there. And
so efficiency systems,
and that's her, and she's got a good mind for that. Then the youngest brother, Blake, he studied finance and accounting at college, and he's helping us with just as we grow, it becomes more and more necessary to have a person dedicated to that
absolutely
that endeavor within the company. So he's putting effort to that, and he likes new product development too, so he works in that way a little bit as well.
Fun.
Yeah.
Do you all have gardens at home?
Small gardens. Smaller than you think we should have, I'm
cobbler
sure.
Cobbler shoes theory here.
Yeah, that definitely applies.
Okay.
We got a small garden. My wife loves it, so I'm thankful that she does, because she it's good for me to have it there. So I can actually experience the plants that I'm
there you go.
With.
You get to see the end product sometimes.
Yes, yeah.
So you've got your siblings there. You all are going through some transitional changes, which is a good thing. Yeah. Where are you going? What technology? Because the technologies from 80s through the 90s to where we are now have changed.
Yeah.
Where are you heading?
Yeah, there's lots of changes. Technology is it's a hot topic in our industry. It's something that people are always trying to figure out ways of implementing. Internet of Things is I'm sure it's everywhere, but it's making its way to greenhouses and even to farming. We've seen it in some agricultural applications as well.
A lot of drone use is coming in.
Definitely. We actually just last season used drones for spraying on some of our mums. Because we do a lot of outdoor mum growing outside of the 18 acres of glass, and that's very labor intensive for our growing team to walk through with hoses and reels and spray.
Oh, yeah.
So the drone was wonderful. They were all clapping watching that thing.
Oh my. Okay.
It was exciting.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we've implemented that. We have machines for transplanting and moving plants. They've been helpful, and they're not quite automation where you think of computers and you know, software and programming, but they're just machines that work very efficiently and reliably. And then another area that I'm really excited about that we're working on with actually a local company in Westminster. They're an automation company that does contracting for the government sometimes and other ag businesses. We're working on stationed or mounted cameras in the greenhouse to track readiness of plants, disease pressures, and actual availability and inventory control as well.
So the infrared spectrum.
Yes. We'll be using a little bit of that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's in development right now. I'm enjoying working with those guys on that.
So staying in the family, bringing it forward, doing expansion, local, but yet broad.
Yeah.
Small, but important.
Yes.
And really everywhere in the Mid-Atlantic. I love it.
Yes.
You guys are doing great. If we want to find you, where do we find you?
We have our website and a Facebook. So if you go to our website, it's CatoctinMTNGrowers.com. It's a very mouthy or very long thing. I spell it to people often on the phone. But if you search that, you'll find it. And then our Facebook is linked on there as well. But it's just CatoctinMTNGrowers on Facebook.
Thank you
for
taking your time and coming in and joining us. And I hope the next time when you see something out and you think, is it local or is it not? You've got the answers now.
Yeah, hopefully that helps.
Thank you for taking your time and your cup of coffee to join us this morning. We'll see you next time here on Raising Connections.
This program is a production of Raising Connections Media Company, hosted and produced by Rashan Mayer and edited and mixed by Robin Temple. For more information about our programs, visit raisingconnections.com.